Yes. We back. It's your Mids and them. It's us, the Audio Mids. Your boy, DJ Bobby Hustle, and my guy,
That Vato Capo.
Guaranteed to get you plugged for $1 million and a 16-ounce bar of pure gold.
Ooh, yes. Solid gold. That's worth a lot solid right gold. Now.
Worth a lot. I'm going to melt it down and put it on my teeth.
Long as it's not the big horse teeth, bro.
Right. The veneers. Right. Absolutely, man. I'm excited, man. It's Thursday. We back again for another show. This is the Audio Mids. If you're not familiar with AMP, if you just clicked on the link, you just slid by just to see what this thing is, what AMP is all about. Well, AMP is live radio reimagined, and the Audio Mids are currently the only known cure to insanity. Capo, that's a proven fact.
And yes, that is a proven fact. And man, the week has flown by. I can't believe it's already Thursday. We got a great show today for him, man. We got a special guest joining us. I'm super excited. We've got a super producer stepping in the building today, man. He's gonna drop some gems. And not only that, we got some dope topics of discussions. We got hella dope music. We're gonna play some fire for him, some of the new, some of the old. You know how we do it here on Audio Mids. But before we get into all that good shit, Bobby, you already know, I think it's time for us to get it started and heat it up. What you want to do?
Man, let's get into this quick mix, man. Y'all know how we do. Tap that plus button, turn it to a check, hit that heart, show some love. Let's go.
Let's go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio Mids, they're good for yous.
Yeah, man. It's the OT, the Mexican man. It's your boys, your mids and them. DJ Bobby Hustle and that Vato Capo, man. You are live in effect with Audio Mids, and it's Thursday, man.
Man, it's Thursday. I'm feeling good. We're ready for the weekend. This week flew by, bro. Like
it did, man. It's so crazy. I swear I've been telling people the world is spinning faster every day. They just ain't telling us. But we ain't finna get into all that because I'm feeling too good to go down that rabbit hole, man. We feeling too good. You know how good I'm feeling, Capo?
Man, how good are you feeling, Bobby?
Man, I'm feeling about as good as my mans, your mans, they mans, and them Busta Rhymes, man.
Oh man.
Shouts out to Big Busta Bus, man. Lifetime Achievement Awards at the BET Awards 2023.
Yes,
definitely a big deal. And I know a lot of the younger generation might not be too hip on some of Busta Rhymes' music, the catalog, and the contribution he's made to the culture. But
that's crazy. That's crazy to even say that. That's crazy to even say that right there.
It's crazy,
man.
To even think
that shit. You know, I seen him and Bia just released a new record, which is super dope, man. Like in his speech, he had mentioned bridging that gap between the older generation and the younger generation or the new wave, mm-hmm. saying that we need to stop all this you know, segregation.
The ageism.
The ageism. Yes, exactly. It's like, man, come on, man. It's like we're all in it for the same thing. We're all still trying to eat off of it. We're all still thriving and pushing this culture, and we're all making a living off of this beautiful culture called hip hop. So,
absolutely. You know,
like, let's stop the bullshit.
Age ain't nothing but a number. Now ain't nothing but a thing, you know. And so this music game is for everybody, because you forget, youngins, that you got to get old too.
Exactly.
The old dude on the block.
But that's the thing. Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, you know, even the artists that are now what you would say old heads or the OGs of hip hop, they got it when they were younger. You know what I'm saying? Like the rappers that were coming up in the 80s were looking at the 90s rappers like, man, what are you guys doing? You know what I'm saying? And the 90s rappers were looking at
the same thing. It's like when your parents try to tell you something, be like, man, I'm trying to tell you, don't do that because you're going to burn your hand if you stick your hand in the flame. And you stick your hand in the flame, and then you learn, and then you tell somebody younger than you, I'm telling you, if you stick your hand in the flame, it's going to hurt. Don't do it. Yeah, but they still do it. You got to go through it.
Yeah, I think KRS-One hit it on the head, man. He said the younger generation, if you listen to the older generation, you'll move faster within the younger generation. The older generation, if you listen to the younger generation, you'll move faster within the older generation. And it keeps you young. You know what I'm saying? So, because the truth is, we can learn from each other. There's always more to learn. You know what I'm saying? So the younger generation can always teach the older generation and vice versa. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, but with all that being said, big up to the GOAT to himself. To
Bust the Bus, man.
To Bust the Bus, man. And exactly. Man. So, but man, we got a good one for him, dog.
We definitely do, man. So we got a special guest on the line today. Before we get into that special guest, we're about to pay some bills. We're about to play a real quick song. And we're about to come back with somebody super special on the line.
Uh-oh.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Chat in the house, man.
Yeah, I'm talking about to say, Big Chat. I seen y'all show a little Big Chat town in the house, man. YGTUT, YGTUT.
YGTUT, man. And you, you know, that's Isaiah Rashad's family right there, man. Like, real talk. Okay. Like, yep. Super dope, man. So, we're waiting for our special guest to go ahead and call in. Once he does, we can get this thing started. But, Bobby,
man.
There's a lot to talk about, man.
There's definitely a lot to talk about, a lot going on in the industry, especially if you're a creator, you're familiar with performing rights organizations such as ASCAP, CSAC, BMI, and then you're also familiar with the Recording Academy. The Recording Academy are the people who actually set the rules for the Grammys and how things go, and they host the Grammys. So with all this AI stuff that's been going on, I know everybody's been hearing lots of dope records that have been coming from AI, some using people's likeness, some actually using original voices. But, you know, with all new technology, new rules have to be put in place with everything. And so when it comes to the music industry with this whole new technology, they're all setting out to start to establish protocols and policies when it comes to this AI music creation. One of those is the Recording Academy is stating that any music that's totally created by AI, completely created by AI, will not be eligible to win a Grammy. So that's a big downer for all you AI nerds out there making these dope AI records.
As it should be, though.
You can't get a Grammy, but you still might be able to get some streaming checks. You know, they haven't cracked down on that yet. But I think Juan's on the line. I think we got a caller on the line, man.
Okay. Well, before we get in, let me give him the proper introduction.
Please do, man. Let them know.
We have a special guest joining us today, man. Super producer / songwriter. Just inked a special situation with Roc Nation. You may have heard him on some of your favorite artist records, such as NBA YoungBoy, Rallo Rodriguez, Nardo Wick, Mariah the Scientist, Money Man, Derez the Shot. I could just keep going and going because the list is too damn long. We don't have enough time. Man is working. I need y'all to make some noise for the one, the only, Twan the God. Hey! You gotta unmute your mic, homie. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There he is.
Hey,
my man. Appreciate that introduction.
Hey, man, it's all facts. Right? No cap.
Nope.
Yo, how's it going, man? How you doing? We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come and join us on Audio Meds.
That is going good. I just stepped out of the studio just to hop on this real quick.
Look at that. We appreciate that, man. You putting the pause on the work just to come check it out with us, man.
Yes, sir. So are you in the studio with anyone special that you can speak on, or is this secret, you know, top secret information?
It's just with an upcoming artist / songwriter. His name G.O.D. But he real fire, though. He real fire.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Well, big shouts. We'll be on the lookout for that coming up.
Yes, sir. So North Carolina, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. What part of North Carolina?
I grew up between Fayetteville and Sanford. That's where I grew up.
Okay, all right.
And I was born in Elizabethtown, North Carolina.
Okay. And so you moved to Atlanta in 2016, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, you said you was you started out watching some of the started out as an artist in the group.
Yeah. I had my own group growing up in high school and stuff. And Well, I was in two different groups. I started off in one big group. It was like Wu-Tang back in the day. But then, then I branched off and got two other guys I went to school with. I used to produce and help write all the hooks for us. And then I went solo because everybody ain't stick with music. I just kept
right
the whole time. And ended up moving to Arizona for about a year, two years. And then I moved to Atlanta in 2016.
Okay, nice. Dope. So
go ahead, Bobby. My bad. I didn't mean.
Oh no, I was just diving more into the group thing because you said you was in two groups and you was a rapper first and then you decided to go into producing.
Yeah, well, I produced my own beats the whole time. Yeah.
Okay.
So I lived in Carolina Beach for a while, and I know Fayetteville's not too far from Carolina Beach, but it's a melting pot out there, man. It's like there's a lot of people that come from up north, but it's still got that southern feel, and then there's a lot of Zoes out there as well. And so it's like this melting pot of sounds. Like, do you feel like that's where a lot of your production vibe came from? Like your personal sound was,
I was definitely, because like Fort Bragg bass is like right in the middle of all that. So there's people everywhere just moving there. Like, so I grew up heavily influenced by the North and the South and the West Coast because used to listen to like Warren G, Mac 10, NWA, all that type stuff growing up.
I can hear that reflect in your music, in some of the records that you produce. Just checking out some of your discography and the type of beats that you make, they got a distinct sound where they're not trap, not New York, not boom bap, but I can hear that medley of all the different inspirations that you've gotten. So that's definitely dope how you catered your sound.
Appreciate it. Yeah, now, I like to be real musical, but like not adding too much to a production so the artist has space to just vibe on the track.
I've noticed that with a lot of producers. So as a producer, are you, because there's this, I like to say there's two different types of producers. There's the producers who are not musicians and then the producers that are musicians. Or do you consider, are you like a trained pianist or guitarist or anything? Or are you,
I used to play trombone in band.
Okay. Hey, I played the brass, I played the trumpet, so I get it.
Yeah. And I took choir, so I know music. I just don't play no instruments. Like, I play piano by ear, but other than that, I just, mainly I just do it by ear.
Absolutely. And I think that's with a lot of producers, that's a big differentiator, because when you're trained, you just tend to stick to the rules a lot. And when you learn by ear, you learn how to break the rules. And that's how we get a lot of the trap sound that, some of the chords are not what you would normally do if you was trained, and people step outside of the box. So, yeah.
And then I collect a lot with other producers too. We got collab. Well, I'm actually in a group. Let me start by saying that. So it's two of us in a group. There's two producers and an artist, DXB, and the other producer named Parker.
Okay. So that's the Sixth Element, right?
Yep. Sixth Element.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. Sixth Element. Okay. So
me and Parker do everything together, production wise and songwriting.
So is there any songs that maybe that you've written that we might know off top?
We did the Young Miami verse on Don't Play With It remix.
Ooh, that's big. Mm-hmm. That's a big boy ghostwriter check right there. I guess it ain't ghost no more. You just let the cat out the bag.
So let me ask you that. How do you approach writing something like that when it comes to a female? Do you write it from her perspective? Like,
most definitely. That's what every artist.
Okay. So you put yourself in their shoes and just get to writing and kind of act like you're them.
Yeah. And you basically look at their social media, see what they're going through in life, what they're talking about on Twitter, and just add all that into it.
Okay. I know you said that when you work with an artist, you like to kind of build a relationship with them so they're comfortable with taking direction. I know as a producer and writer myself, sometimes it's hard to get people to step outside of their own box and take direction. Is that something you face a lot with some of the artists that you work with that are, let's say, bigger than you?
Oh, most definitely. But once you build a relationship with them, they listen.
It's kind of like you have to prove yourself first, right? It's like, let me show you what I can do. And then once you prove it, they're more willing to listen.
Yeah.
That's like, what's up.
Like, I went to a camp, this Puma camp, for this project we're doing. Rod Nation doing a project with Puma. And we're dropping a whole mixtape for their new shoe coming out, led by Emery Jones. And it's going to be real dope. I got a couple of joints on there. And it was like my first time meeting a lot of the artists and stuff and building a relationship.
Wow.
So
go ahead. He said a lot right there. And it's like he skipped over a whole lot. He said Rock Nation. He said
exactly. And that's what I was about to go into. You jumped into it, but you know, I mean, Rock Nation, come on, man. That's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Like how did that whole Rock Nation situation come about, and what is it for you?
It's about having a team, man, and having the right relationships. My manager helped with a big part of that. He was able to reach people and let them hear what we had going on and like who we were and let them hear our talent.
That's dope.
He made it sound like real easy. Like he just reached
real
out.
Real nonchalant. Like anybody can just get a deal with Rock Nation.
It wasn't easy. It was like it took like a year process to get it all the way through.
Wow.
Okay,
wow.
And that's the thing that they don't know. Like you say that again. It took you a year to get through the whole process of signing with Rock Nation.
Yeah, it took a whole year to get through that whole process. A whole lot of back and forth. A whole lot of meetings, Zoom calls. Yeah.
Wow.
So for those of y'all listening, don't just be like you go have dinner, sign a contract, and they drop a bag on you. But if they do, you better look at that contract 6 times.
Exactly. With a magnifying. You understand? Yeah. So, but hey, man, like you had mentioned Puma and the mixtape, right? Like I love that whole concept because I seen Rock Nation and Puma announce that it wasn't too long ago. They just announced it. And there's a lot of heavy hitters working on this project. I mean, but can you break it down? Cause it's actually like for them to go back to like the mixtape feel and that whole era one, that's super dope period. But can you mention like some of the people that are involved in this?
I can mention me.
I ain't mad at that.
But so let's talk about the Rock Nation thing, because that's a big deal. It's kind of like a big deal, as you know, the clips would say. But so as a producer, I know a lot of people, aspiring producers, artists, entertainers that want to know some of the inner workings of the business. How does that work for you as a producer? Like, what do they do for you? Do they just put you in the room with bigger artists? Do they run you on a PR tour? How does that work as a producer versus being an artist?
Well, as far as PR, I did my own PR when I hired a PR when I first signed just to cover everything. And she got me featuring in like Billboard magazine and Hollywood Unlocked and a whole lot of other things. Just so I can let people know, so people put eyes on it, a face on it.
Mm-hmm.
And but other than that, my label's been real helpful. They've been definitely connecting me with other artists, songwriters, producers, helping me build the right relationships. They had me at the Rock Nation brunch this year, so it's a whole lot of
And I was gonna ask you about that because wasn't that with Hov?
Yeah, I met Hov.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what I was about to say. Did he take the brunch or did he take the Millie? You know what I'm saying? So what was that like for you, man?
Man.
Nah, it was a great experience. It's like hard to put that in words. It was just seeing like everybody I grew up watching and listening to and meeting everybody. Jay-Z was talking about his songs and stuff like that. Like Matt Biggs, Emery,
wow.
Just that energy essence just sprinkling on you. It's like, Wow, that's magic.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I'm ready for next year too.
I can imagine.
Right. Are you hype now? You lit. Yeah. I mean, you got.
Yeah, so did you take, was there anything specific that you might be able to share that you took away from that meeting?
I was still working when I was at the brunch, like taking numbers, and I even met people like I actually produced for that they didn't know I produced for them.
Yeah.
And that's how I'd be in the music business, because, like, as a producer, sometimes, you know, it may be a few producers on it. Sometimes, you know, a lot can happen in the back end between in the studio and the release.
Yeah. Like, and it'd be with the artist relationships, getting the artists on the song, too.
Mm.
Absolutely. So I know you had said you got the deal with Roc Nation, and you got a label that you are working with, or is that your label? So how does that work in the play with the two of them?
Well, Six Element is our own team. Like, we're just building it up, like building up the popularity. Everything we do is released under Six Element. Like, all credit is given to Six Element when it comes to the team, like me and Parker and DXB.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Okay, so you know, you here right now. It's 2023, not to date it, but like you're signed with Roc Nation. You got the label, you got the big boy studio, all that. But you had to come from the mud to get there. So one of the bigger records that was a highlight that I found out from that you did was the Derez Deshawn record, the VBS. That was like 2018.
Yeah, that was actually a turning point in my career.
Okay, so how did that happen, and what point did it turn?
I had linked up with my friend Bishop. He's like he runs this company called ATL Top 20.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's real big. It's like it provides all the music for the radio station, DJs and stuff around. And he got a big network, and he connected with a lot of artists too. And he wanted to put a record together. He acts like maybe about 5-6 other producers, and I was the first one to do it.
Oh, wow. And it turned into that record. And so that was the time coming right off of Hardaway, too. So that was kind of a big deal.
Yeah. The song did really great. It's like, this guy probably like 8 million views on YouTube. But, that was great. I was at the video shoot, too.
Okay. Hey. Okay.
At least they didn't play you to the side. You know, he was a part of the whole process. You know, like a lot of times the producer, after the beat, you get the beat, and after the song's released, it's kind of like you get forgot about. But being able to get pulled in on that situation, and then it be a place for you to pivot. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's dope. You know, you being able to capitalize off of it, because that's always the key, man, is being able to capitalize off of these situations.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, okay.
Locked in now. Me and Bishop, we locked in. Like, he does these events called Dinner with ATL Top 20 that he be doing for artists, and it really be like connecting artists with a whole lot of DJs, radio personalities, influencers, and all kinds of things.
Okay, that's dope. So for a lot of people that may not be familiar with the record that you produce, the turning point in your life. So this is something that's I guess very important in your trajectory, is this record right here, VVS, with Derez Deshawn, Money Man, and was it T.O. Green?
Yeah, T.O. Green, London J, Young Gray.
Oh, London J, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you got an all-star. You know, like that was the come-up. So we're about to play this record. We're going to take a real quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to dive into some more with your boy Twine to God, all right?
Let's get it.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for you.
Yes. It's your man's in there, DJ Bobby Hustle, Devato Capo. If you're just tuning in, man, this is the Audio Meds Show, the only known cure to insanity, live right here on AMP. And we got a special guest, Roc Nation's own super producer, Twine to God.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, so. And that record actually helped me build a relationship with a whole lot of cats from No Limit.
Oh, wow.
I built a relationship with Mercedes, 504 Fiend. We got a relationship with Master P now. So it was a dope experience for me.
Fuck yeah, that's what's up, man. And that's is what I like to hear is that's an older generation, right? And I love to see the you know, we were just talking earlier about Busta Rhymes and the disconnect between the younger generation and the new generation. Do you feel that there's any disconnect between, you know, the younger generation of producers compared to the newer generation?
Oh, most definitely. I grew up watching these guys, so I'm very like I respect them a whole lot, and I definitely want to work with a lot of them, like Timbaland, Dr. Dre, Pharrell, shit, even just Blaze. I'm just now getting connected to No ID team, so that's gonna be something.
Ooh,
that
No ID.
Yeah, No ID's an OG. Yeah. I actually had an opportunity to be in the studio with No ID back when I was working at Dallas Austin Studio. I engineered a couple sessions for him, and he is a beast with the MP. He is a beast with the MP. And do you use the MP? What kind of tools do you use? What's in your kit? You FL Studio? You MP? You have a Phantom?
I use FL Studio.
Man, it's so crazy. Like, the industry is ran by FL Studio. I remember when it first came out and it was a toy, and it was like a bad thing that you made a beat with Fruity Loops. And now it's like you ain't
sure. That's how they try to make it sound. It wasn't a bad thing. That's just how they try to make it sound.
They wanted people to stay away from it because it was like, all right, if you could sit down and figure it out, now it's you don't have to be able to play an instrument.
You don't have to spend $1,200 on an MPC.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So,
I used the MPC before, like in my early days.
Okay. Yeah. Now MPC's dope. But
now
yeah,
you named a bunch of extremely talented producers, and one thing I noticed about all the producers you mentioned was they're known for a specific sound, right? Like, even if there's no tag in a beat, you can hear a Timbaland beat, you know it's a Timbaland beat. You can hear a DJ Premier beat, you know it's Premier. You know, Just Blaze, same thing. You know what I'm saying? Them horns, the drum patterns, like, you know it's Just Blaze. Now, do you feel like that's something that the game is missing? Is those producers that have those key elements in their sounds that are creating these new sounds? Because a lot of producers now are starting to sound just like a lot of the artists, where everybody's kind of sounding the same, you know what I'm saying? There's not a lot that sticks out. And I'm sure that's why you got signed to Roc Nation, because you're one of those producers that stick out. But do you feel like that's missing in the game right now?
Yeah, most definitely. It's still a couple of producers that got their own sound, like I think Quay Global got his own sound. I worked with him before too. We got you heard Little Darius. We did a record for him called Had To. He signed the Encore. But I think Quay Global, Sunny Digital.
Okay.
So how is that? Do you like working with other producers, is it easy for you to do? Because I know I've worked with other producers, and like, sometimes you vibe, sometimes you don't. Like, sometimes they may want to do the drums or the melody. How does that work for you?
Well, sure, it's just a vibe thing. It's like, shit, whatever comes together. Because I can like put in melodies too. Like, it's nothing for me to just do the melody and let somebody else do the drums.
Oh, smart. That's smart. Yep. Like, you got it, because you got to let it. That's the part that's hard, is like working together, you know what I'm saying, and finding that way to mesh. But when you do and you find that chemistry, I mean, it's magic. You can make magic that way, you know what I'm saying? And that's the smartest thing you can do, Bobby. Quanta God's over here dropping gems, dog.
He's dropping gems, man. He's, man, really pick his brain and playing some game, man. That's Twan the guy. So, Twan, man, bro, like, you doing your thing. You know, you got the Roc Nation deal. You got the little Puma Secret Society thing going on. You know, you got your label, man. It's like, you're producing all these shit records, man. You got stuff about to drop tomorrow. Like, we got to twist your arm, man. That's what I'm saying.
Big
Brat, right? Mute Baby and Young Sin.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that record's going crazy too, dog. It unfortunately is not on Amp yet because we were gonna play it.
It was.
We searched for it. We couldn't find it on Amp.
The last minute, man. We was both in here spelling it different and everything.
we were thumb thugging. Find that shit.
Yeah. But yeah, man. So with that being said, man.
Do what?
Yeah.
It's on 21 Savage page right now on his YouTube.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes. It was the pre-release.
Yeah, they're directing all the traffic there. Like, every you want to listen to it, go there. That's
hey. Yeah. I mean, that's the machine. That's what the machine does, you know. But yeah, man. So Twan, man. So we do this thing on Audio Mans. I don't know if you've seen the show before, but we got what we call Street Smarts Trivia, where we play a little hip hop trivia. We test your hip hop knowledge to see if we got to pull your hip hop card.
For sure.
Okay. Uh-oh. He said they're confident. He's like, man, you know what it is, bro. Come on, son. I got plaque on plaque on plaque, man. I ain't talking about
that shit. But sometimes I forget the name.
Yeah, we all do. Okay. But with that being said, Capo, what time is it?
You know what time it is. It's time for Street Smarts Trivia with your host, DJ Bobby Hustle, and that Vato Capo.
Guaranteed to get your plug. Bing! All right, so this is the part where we play the game. Basically, all we're going to do is ask you some questions. You just got to give us some answers. It's easy as that. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So the first category is hip-hop history. Who was the first female MC to have 3 consecutive number one singles on the Billboard Hot 100 chart? Was it
A, Cardi B, B, Lil' Kim, or C, Nicki Minaj?
I'm going to say Nicki.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
So close. It was actually Lil' Kim with the song No Time, Not Tonight, the Ladies Night Remix, and Crush on You. All 3 of those were Hot 100. Right.
Yeah, I think that was what, 96? 96?
Yeah, that was the golden era. I think we always go back to that era. Okay. That's all right, man. It's okay.
Just do 2000s and up.
That's an ageism. Okay, that was a low blow. All right.
Excuse me, I'm a little right, this is called ID check.
Basically, we're going to read your government name. All you got to do is tell us who it is. You ready?
Yeah.
My government name is Patrick Earl Houston. Am I?
A. Proof, B, Polo G, or C, Project Pat.
Damn.
His name was Patrick Earl Houston.
Patrick Earl.
Am I A, Project Pat? Final answer?
Is that your final answer?
Hey.
Okay. All right, he coming back, he snapping back like a ball cap. You 50-50, man, that's life. You know, you step outside, you can break a leg, you can make $1 million. You never know, you know what I'm saying?
That's right. All right, so it's gonna get difficult.
Category, Capo. It's your favorite category,
man. Who said that shit?
Okay. All right, Twan the God, it's about to get difficult, bro, and I hate to do this to you, but there's no multiple choice on this one. So I'm going to read you some lyrics, and all you have to do is tell us who said that shit. Easy as that, all right?
All right, hit me.
All right. Be an officer, you wicked overseer. You hotshot want to get props and be a savior. First show a little respect. Change your behavior. Change your attitude. Change your plan. There could never really be justice on stolen land. Who said that shit?
God damn. Mm-hmm. Oh shit!
Damn.
Okay.
We dug deep on that one.
I'm gonna give you a hint. We're gonna make it easy. He is from New York, and his name starts with a letter.
That probably just made it harder, bro. Like,
his name starts with a letter and ends with a number. How about that? Is that better? He's got
dude, right, what are you guys?
Nah, that ain't him. He ain't from New York.
He he's a bit husky.
He's a bit husky. Yep, Changer. This was one of the first, and we're going to give you another hint. This was one of the first songs next to NWA, Fuck the Police, that came out about cops being crooked.
Tupac? Nah, he ain't from. Is he? Yeah, he originally.
Well, he was originally from New York, but yeah, nah. I think we stumped him. I think we stumped him, bro. Yeah, you got throwing the towel. You throwing the towel?
Yeah, I ain't gonna get that one.
Yeah, we went too far. We went too far back for him, Bobby. It was KRS-One, Sound of the Police.
It's the Sound of the Police.
Oh, damn, I know that song too.
we had to go back, man. It's 50 years of hip hop. We're trying to show love to everything out there. You know what I'm saying?
Man, everything out there.
I ain't really know the verses.
Right, nobody ever knows the verses. But stay right there, Twan the Guy. We got more from Twan the Guy coming, more from the Audio Meds, more DJ Bobby Hustle, more Devato Capo, more, and more.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio Meds, they're good for you.
Yeah, man. If you're just now tuning in, this is the Audio Meds. It's your man's in there, DJ Bobby Hustle, Devato Capo. We got a super duper producer on the line.
Super duper.
So Twan, man, you there? You hit that mute button? We're waiting on him to come back. I think he had to slap somebody real quick.
he had to go get a bag. He had to go get that bag real quick. I'll be right back. Yeah, man. There he is.
My bad. I had to send my A&R sign real quick.
So that's what I'm talking about. He's still getting that bag. You said it, Capo. You said it.
I told you.
You said he had to get a bag.
I told you.
He's in that bag and slap somebody. We didn't get the bag. And speaking of bags, Twan. So I noticed you keep saying one word that stands out that is the key core to this entire industry and being successful in this business. And that word that you've been saying is relationships. Every time you talk about a situation that you've ran into, an opportunity that you had, a place that you've been in a room, the one thing that you said was relationships and never money. And so relationships are key to the entire industry. And I know you was talking about with the record that you did with NBA Youngboy that you have a partner, Patrick, on with the Sixth Element, and he knows Cheese, who is NBA Youngboy's engineer. And that's kind of how you got in that door?
Yeah. My partner, Parker.
Right.
Yeah, so he signed at APG, Mike Caron's label.
Mm. Okay, you know about Mike Caron?
Yeah, his team... I set him up with Cheese in a session and they built a relationship. And then that tied into me building a relationship with him too. Cause we all went to lunch when I was out there. So when I first signed, went to LA for a whole month last year in August, and we all went to dinner and stuff and talked and got to know each other. So it's just been a strong bond since.
Mm. Now you said, you know, once again, relationships and you got connected with him. Now, that was how you got that placement. How do you go about getting placements when you don't have a relationship with the artist?
Sometimes you just send packs through emails or through A&Rs, and they end up getting it to the artist.
So once again, it's someone else that has the relationship.
Right. So about the relationship.
Right. Now go ahead, my bad, Bobby.
No. I was just gonna say, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. That whole circuit of shopping records and they call it chasing placements is a lot of work. It's a lot of making a lot of records, sending a lot of emails, getting a lot of promises that go unfulfilled and finally getting that one that hits.
Mm. Now, do you suggest for like up and coming producers? Because you know you see a lot of these producers out here, and they just DM artists all day, like, "Yo, can I send you a pack? Can I send you a pack?" You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think that is a smart way to go about it if you don't have these industry contacts yet, or is it something that you would steer away from?
I mean, it's like playing a lottery, so you can do that, but it ain't no guarantee that it's gonna make it through. But I get loop makers DM me all the time wanting to send me loops just so I can get beats to their loops and get them a placement.
And I'm glad you said that, because that was something I was going to ask you about as far as your process. So you said a lot of loop makers, which tend to be a lot of musicians who have the ear for musicians, but not the ear for making beats. And that's a lot of times the case. But do you use services like Splice and things like that? And what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I use Splice. I use everything, really. It ain't wherever the music come from. I'm just all about making good music.
Okay, yeah. And speaking of the loop makers, are you screwing these guys, or are you giving them their publishing? Or they do work for hire?
We do their business. I'm just messing with you. We do great business. Some people give loop makers half the percent, but we do great business. I mean, it depends on the situation. It ain't always going to half. Sometimes you might get 20%, but it depends on the situation. Like, because if the loot maker is depending on you for the placement, then they got to go with whatever you give them for real.
Right. And that's where that leverage comes in. And like you said, to turn it on how good you want your business to be is how big of the percentage you give them. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Yeah. So how does that work as far as like dealing with artists and placements and, like, because the business side of it, you know, it tends to, you would think that it would get in the way of the creative aspect when you get in the studio and you're just trying to create good music. I mean, do you do the split sheets before, like when you get in the studio, or I mean, is it just, you know, like, do you just know what you're going to do and then send the split sheets after? Like, how do you do that?
I mean, usually the label will reach out to my management. I don't really handle no business.
Gotcha. Oh, that's when you made it. That's when you know you made it.
Like, I don't do shit.
I don't do the business.
But that's what I'm saying. So is that handled beforehand? Because I know I was watching something the other day, and they were talking about how this artist was in the studio with a producer. It was Simba, and he was talking about how he was trying to work with some older producers and connect, and they you know, spent the weekend creating and doing all these, you know, I mean, just cooked up a bunch of fucking music, and then after he left, you know, the business came into it, and they're like, they wanted like $200K per beat. He was like, God damn, I just spent a whole fucking weekend with these guys, like,
you know,
yeah.
And you gotta know who you're working with. If it's somebody who's getting that, then you gotta understand that's what they be getting.
Yeah. So really, you just need to be aware before you even go and fucking spend a weekend with someone fucking cooking up. You need to be aware of what you're walking into.
Yeah. You know what happened was, he was just like Twan to God. He don't handle no business. Yeah, we best friends. holla at old buddy over there. He gonna tell you how much you gotta pay. But yeah, man, you want a piece of the sandwich, man?
So what's next for Twan to God, man? What can we expect? What you got in the works coming up here in the near future?
Well, midnight tonight, I got the record dropping with Ryan Trey. Well, Six Element got the record dropping with Ryan Trey and Mariah the Scientist tonight. With the video. So be on the lookout for that. It's amazing. I was at the video shoot. It's fire.
Ryan Trey is big. He's with Universal. Who's he with?
Interscope.
Interscope.
Okay. Yeah. Interscope. Yep.
Yeah.
And Mariah the Scientist, dog, like, she's fucking taking off. Like, and she's so unique, man. Like, she's got such a unique sound.
Yeah. Nah, she is real cool. She's a real cool person.
Got you.
Definitely.
Amazing. Y'all gonna watch the video. Y'all be like, wow, this is dope. But big ups to Ryan Trey. He real fire, too. Like, he's a real dope artist, very creative. And he takes his craft very serious.
So how are you about that? I know now you made it, Roc Nation, Puma, all that stuff. How are you now about working with new independent artists that don't have a deal? Are you willing to take a risk on somebody new, or are you not able to do that now that you signed?
I'm actually doing it now. I have my own artist from West Side Atlanta.
Okay.
Hey.
Bear Glizzy, and we just dropped a project like 2 weeks ago. The project's amazing too. And he's already getting offers from the project.
Damn.
Oh wow. And that's because of the relationships.
So it's a project, right? Like, me and Bobby talk about this a lot, you know, that the whole art of creating a whole project seems to be something that is, you know, people aren't doing it as much as they used to. You know, everything's so single based and pushing out record after record and video after video. Like, what was it that made you want to go and create a whole body of work?
I've just been locked in with him since he was 16. So he 21 now, but he,
And it was the question.
Yeah, that's what I was about. He's like, he's 16 and a half.
He just trusts me and listens and everything. Like, he's coachable. He listens to everything. And he's a very talented writer himself. Like, he go in a booth and just go off. And like, he makes it easy for me.
Okay, so when you in the studio and you're writing a song, do you put references down yourself?
Usually Parker do. He put melodies down, or I shoot melody. We both lay melodies, and then we fill it in with words. Mm-hmm. Or it's just like some real trap rap stuff. We just go in there and bar it.
Yeah, mumble it. That's what I see in a lot of sessions. Like, that's the new thing that a lot of writers are doing in the works, especially with the auto tune and all that. You go in there and you melody mumble, and then you add the words later.
Yeah.
How do you feel about sampling?
I sample too.
Oh,
I got some fire sample beats.
You got what?
Okay. I said I got some fire sample beats.
Oh, you got some fire sample beats?
I love sample bass, bro.
I don't pitch them all the time because I just went through a situation where we put out a record and then somebody claimed a percent because the artist just used a melody on the song, and now they're taking like a big percentage of the record.
Oh man,
that's how it happens. It's like, if you don't get their clearance first, then they have all the leverage. If you get the clearance first, then you got a little bit of leverage based on who you are and who's on it. But if you wait to afterwards, they got the balls and claws is all I got to say. But speaking of samples, I mean, just wait 20 years when they sampling your records, you're going to be at the Woodward. Black.
Right.
So one of my OGs, he's out of New Orleans. His name, Devious, he like own a lot of the bounce music. So all the songs that be sampling bounce, that he gets paid off all that shit.
Damn. So, well, I know M2Me, they have they're like a 70s 80s group, had a huge hit, Juicy Fruit and I Miss You, but they have they have one member in the group that's all she does is spend her time searching for people that are sampling their shit so that she can, you know, basically go get their percentage, man. And they make a really nice living off of people that are sampling their music. it's fucking crazy, dog.
Yeah, I already know.
Yeah,
that's crazy. And speaking of sampling, Twan, so we got this thing that we like to play called Who Sampled That? Just a real quick game where we play you a original record. Then all you got to do is tell us who sampled that.
All right.
So this original record, I'm going to go ahead and just give you the name of the record because, you know, you might already know who sampled it because of the record. It came out in 1973 by David Ruffin, and it's called Common Man. We're about to play it. If you know it, don't say it yet. Let the people listen to it. I'm about to play it. And when we come back, I want you to tell us who sampled that, okay?
All right.
Here we go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for yous.
Thanks to you, baby, for that check. All right, Twan, you there? Tap that mute.
He's Googling real quick.
He's Googling. Okay. He's Shazamming.
So is that Jay-Z.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
What's the record, though? What's the record, though? Does he know the record?
Bonus points. Bonus points.
Don't change.
Yeah, he got the bonus points.
It's never changed.
Yes, close enough. Still. Come on, man. Potato, tato.
No, he got that shit. He got that shit.
He's a producer. You should know that. That was a good one. So
we love it, man. Well, man, we know you got a lot going on, and we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. Is there anything that you would like, any type of advice that you would like to give to an up and coming producer that might be listening right now that could take a gem away from you walking into their career that's looking at, I want to be where he's at very soon. How do I get there? What's a gem that you could give them?
I would say focus on building your relationships. And
there it is.
There it is.
Most important thing, focus on building your relationships, networking, going to different studios. Shoot, if it's a popular studio in your city that you know rappers be going to, book some time there and see who you run into.
Man, that's crazy. How long have you been producing?
Yeah, since I was in seventh grade. So it's been like 20 years.
Mm. 20 years in the game, y'all. So don't think it's an overnight success. That's a dub.
That's a dub, y'all. So were you like part of a musical family? Did you come from a musical family?
Not necessarily. I grew up in church.
Some of the best producers come from the church, Doug.
They do.
Now, one more thing. I seen that you, and correct me if I'm wrong, did you grow up in a military family?
Yeah, I did. My step-pops was in the military.
Hey, yo. All right, so I grew up in a military family as well, bounced around a lot. We had So Candy on the other day, Tuesday, actually, and she had grown up in a military family as well. And I asked her a question because she bounced around a lot. Did you move a lot growing up or not really?
Because he was stationed in Fort Bragg, so we mostly was in Fayetteville area the whole time.
Yeah. Did you live on base?
No, we didn't. We stayed off
base. Okay. So it didn't really affect you like that. You lived the normal civilian life pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just going to ask, because a lot of times, you know, people that grew up in a military family, it's either one or the other. They're either awkward in social crowd, like they don't know how to connect, or it's one of those things where they're a social butterfly because they're so used to moving and being around new people all the time, and that really helps them with the networking. So I didn't know if that had a part to play with how you build your relationships, because it seems like you have a lot of them.
Oh, yeah. I get a couple of drinks in me. I'm going to get talkative.
Hey, get that oil in ya.
Yeah, speaking of drinks.
Speaking of drinks, man. Okay, Twine, man. Man, like I said, we definitely appreciate you coming and rocking with us. But before we let you get out of here, we got one more thing. We got to twist your arm one more time, one last time. And you've been doing good, man. You've been doing good. So we got to twist your arm one more time, man. We got. We want to put you in the hot seat. All this is a mental mind simulation where we give you some options. You ask one or the other. You give us one or the other. Don't say both. Don't say neither. And then, are you ready? Yeah, you say as fast as you can. First thing that comes to your mind, don't think about it.
All right.
So let me just ask one quick question to prime you, so I don't offend you. Do you partake?
In what?
Smoke.
Weed. Marijuana.
Sometimes when I'm in LA.
Okay, cool. So you get it. All right, cool. All right, so here we go. Just to get it started. So one or the other. Don't say both. Don't say neither. Light liquor or dark liquor?
Dark liquor.
Indica or sativa?
Sativa.
Kicking the nuts or poking the eye?
Poking the eye.
$10, $20 bills or $650 bills?
$650 bills.
Would you rather have $50,000 up front or 50% of the back end?
50% of the back end.
Would you rather live a short and eventful life or a long and boring one?
Short and eventful.
Hey! That says a lot about you, though. Okay, you got to push it to the limit, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So it's Twan the God, man. We appreciate you taking time out of your extremely busy schedule and coming and joining us on Audio Meds. Anytime you got something new, man, you are part of the family. Please come back and join us again. And hopefully you'll play some Street Smarts trivia with us again and come through and sweep the board. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. I appreciate y'all.
Man, no definitely, doubt, man. So yeah. One more time before you get out of here, let them know where they can find you online.
You can find me on IG at 6 capital LEMENT _. That's the group page. And then all our personal IGs is on that page.
Hey, there you have it. That's what it is, man. Once again, we appreciate you. You have a good one, dog. And we can't wait to see what's next.
All right. Thank you. Y'all guys have a good one.
Yes, sir.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio meds, they're good for you.
Yeah, man. That's classic, man. That's a banger. Ludacris, J.I.D., Conway the Machine. Man. We
back. Luda. They were bridging the gap on that one, dog.
Actually, they was. They had, you know, all the sides, all the regions.
Well, not only that, it was, you know, I guess Luda could be, yeah, I mean, he's an OG, bro. He's been rapping since the 90s.
Yes, he is. He definitely is an OG. He's been rapping since baggy pants and Air Force Ones.
and tall tees.
Tall tees. Oh, man. I got the tall tee and the dress. I put it on to look like a dress. I was like, dude, we used to really wear this shit.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did with the baggy jeans.
I did too. I can't even lie, bro. I can't even lie.
With a hockey jersey.
No, I had basketball jerseys. I had basketball. I had the Mitchell and S. You know what I'm saying?
Like, was the stuff. You was balling. You had Mitchell and S. Oh, you was a baller.
I had a closet full of Mitchell and S basketball and football jerseys. And that probably that could tell you a lot at what I was doing at that time for a job.
Right. It's funny. Like, do people even care about a Mitchell and S anymore?
You know what? Like, it's crazy because I get an email every morning from Mitchell and S. And
well, you bought enough of them.
Yeah, I signed up for their email list. I'm a part of that. But yo, they still have some really dope shit, and they actually team up with a lot of artists, and they do like collabs and shit. So shout out to Mitchell and S, man. They're still a thing, and they still do high quality jerseys and some really, really dope clothes, man.
And that wasn't a sponsor plug. He actually wears that shit.
That wasn't an ad. No, that was not an ad.
But feel free to send us a check.
We should have, though. We need to reach out, bro. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir. So,
but yeah, man.
It's the end of the week, man. Last show of the week, Thursday. Make sure you guys tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Central, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And if you're not already following us on all the social media platforms, please do. Go check us out on Instagram. Go check us out on YouTube. We have some dope interviews on YouTube as well, some visuals that you could check out. But yeah, dog, we are always here on AMP. Always amping it up, right, Bobby?
Always amped to amp it up on AMP. That's a lot of amps. You know, like you said, Tuesday, Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard. We had a great show today. We got one more guest before we get out of here.
Uh-oh.
Paging Dr. Capo, paging Dr. Capo.
All right, bro. All right, man. You already know what time it is, Bobby. Like we always do about this time, we got to hit you with the weekly prescription. All right. So every dose of Audio Meds, we have to end the show with a prescription. And I feel like we're going into the weekend and everybody thinks the weekend, it's a time to relax, kick back, chill a little bit. But I'm going to give them some motivation to stay productive, to go into the weekend motivated and ready for the top of next week. So when they can catch us on Tuesday on AMP, all right? So it goes a little something like this. And this is simple, Bobby. Focus on being productive instead of being busy.
Say that one more time, because that's the truth.
Focus on being productive instead of being busy.
So it really means actually do some shit instead of just sending people to the voicemail and posting on Instagram pretending like you're doing some shit.
You gotta be productive, because a lot of times you'll do a lot of busy work, but what really gets done? Did you progress off of that work? Did you actually accomplish something that's gonna help you in the future, that's gonna help you move forward? Or are you just staying busy? Are you just killing time?
Just burning that clock. Well, the choice is yours.
Audio meds, they're good for you.
Yippee!